Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. The words, "follow me." Jesus spoke those words to fishermen by the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus said those words, "follow me," the disciples obeyed. You know, they got up and they followed, but did they understand at the time what the words really meant of "follow me"? And this morning, looking at the power of Jesus' resurrection, I would like to look at the fact that for there to be the resurrection, there had to be a death. Jesus had to die. He gave his life. And the disciples later on learned that "follow me" meant to die to self. They learned that it was a whole lot more than just getting up and leaving behind some fishing nets. It meant a whole lot more than that. You can turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, in verse 8 through 10, we have here words from Paul, and we see him, we can hear his heart. He's crying out that he would gain Christ, that he would be found in Christ, that he would know Christ, that he would know the power of Christ's resurrection, that he would know Christ's sufferings, that he would experience his death, that death of the carnal man. Brother Brady brought out, he read there how Jesus was in the garden. And as I read over Jesus preparing for the cross, you know, he came for that purpose. He knew that was why he came. That was why he was here. But to me, it almost seems the biggest battle was the battle that was won in the garden. So keep that in mind. Let's read Philippians 3, starting in verse 3. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And remember here this thought of the dying that Jesus had to wrestle with. And it's the same call for us today. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. What stood out to me was how Paul was, he was just saying that his heart, he was just yearning to gain Christ. He wanted to be sure that he was gaining Christ, that he was being found in Christ, that he would know Christ, that he would know the power of Christ's resurrection. But then the last two things he says there, that he would know Christ's sufferings and that he could experience his death. You know, when we think about, we all want the power of the resurrection in our lives, do we not? We want power over sin. We need power over sin. We recognize that. We realize that we are broken in ourselves. And we need power. But I believe here that Paul understood this following Jesus included knowing his suffering and dying, learning to die. Today we live in a world where it seems like many, many people want to call themselves a Christian. They're very quick to say, oh, I'm a Christian. That's good. But are we willing to follow Jesus? Are we willing to know his suffering and death? And I'm afraid that is a part that many people who want to say, yes, I'm a Christian, but they don't want anything to do with the suffering and the death of Jesus. Why is the death and resurrection of Jesus so important? It's because Jesus provided eternal life for never-dying souls. And these riches are exceedingly great. These riches of Jesus, like Brady was speaking about, like you just can't, when you read about all that Jesus did for us, you can't explain it all. There aren't words good enough to explain the powerful riches. They're unmeasurable. The crucifixion didn't just happen to Jesus. He came for this very purpose. Jesus submitted himself to the Father's plan. You know, Jesus came as a baby, and it, before he even got here, it was prophesied of how he's going to be the sacrifice. So he came for that purpose. When he was just a small child, they were in the temple. In Luke chapter 2, verse 34 says, then Simeon blessed them This was Jesus and his parents were there. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Another prophecy said, just when he was a small child yet, how he's destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. The fall of people stumbling over him. People, it caused many to stumble, it says. They fell down. They didn't understand him. They didn't understand what he was about. They were, you know, against him. Thank you. But also, many would be raised up. Many would find new life in Christ. Later on, we see how when Jesus was crucified, it didn't just happen to be at the time of the Passover. It was God's timing. It was God's perfect plan. It was the time of the Passover. And Jesus is crucified. And it didn't just happen that he died at the precise time of the evening sacrifice. Clearly, it was God's work, providing a perfect sacrifice for sin, opening the veil of the temple so all men can have access to God. When Jesus died, that veil in the temple ripped from the top to the bottom. And it was a sign of God opening up that all can go in. All men can see, can come into God. In Mark chapter 15, he records that even the soldiers who crucified Jesus, they recognized after the earthquake, they said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Even them, they recognized the hand of God. It must have been quite the time when Jesus died. Matthew records an earthquake at the time Jesus died and again at his resurrection. And I thought it was interesting how Pilate, so you know, they bring Jesus, they condemn him. Pilate isn't for this. He says, "I don't find any fault in this man." But he said, "You can do with him what you want." So they crucified Jesus, and then it gets dark, and I'm pretty sure Pilate was like, "Yeah, see, this isn't good." I'm pretty sure when it got dark, when the sun's supposed to be shining, there was a lot of people that then they started to wonder, they started to worry. And then when Jesus died, there was a great earthquake and people came out of the graves, and yeah, it was. And then the next day, what happens? They come and they ask Pilate for a watch. They said, "We need a watch to make sure this grave is secure, because the disciples, he said he's going to rise again and they're going to come steal him away and say that he rose, and then it's never going to be, you know, we're going to have a bigger problem on our hands than we did in the beginning." And Pilate says, "Yeah, you have a watch, you know, go ahead, they're yours. Make it as secure as you can." I think at that point, after that earthquake happened, I'm pretty sure Pilate's like, "Yeah, I don't think they got this. I mean, just he. It seems like he said there, yeah, you haven't watched, but make it as secure as you can. I don't know. But anyway, they couldn't hold him there. The next day, there was another earthquake, and the angel rolls the stone back, and Jesus is alive. He conquered death. And yeah, what a beautiful thing that he conquered. He bore our sin. He conquered death. And you know, today we don't have to fear any of these things. Sin cannot be our master. Death cannot overcome us because of Jesus. But for there to be this resurrection, there had to be a death. And I believe what we read already in Brother Brady read in Matthew 26, how Jesus was wrestling with that death, that I believe it was Jesus in his human body. You know, he had the body of a man. Yes, he was God. Jesus as God's son, he could have called the 10,000 angels. They would have been there and set him free. But he knew that wasn't according to God's plan. He was here to do the Father's will. And so he submitted himself to it. He was submitted to the Father's will. And that's why he was willing to go through with this. He was willing to go through with whatever God's will was. But we see him there in the garden wrestling with that, and he prayed and he asked God, you know, if it's your will that this cup could pass from me. And it says he went and he asked three times, but he always said, but not my will, but your will, Father. But you can see the tremendous wrestling with his flesh. He had to put that. He had to die to himself so that he could carry out the Father's plan. And I believe today for us, for you and I, if we will experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus in our heart, we must agree with Jesus to crucify, to put to death our carnal man, our flesh, and invite Jesus to consume every part of us. I think, you know, we need to agree with Jesus that our flesh must die. Then we can have power. Then we can be raised in power. And like I said before, I think this is one of the things that as the whole group of people who would say they're Christians, I think it comes down to this point right here of how willing are we to die? Because it's when we die. When, you know, if there's some unwillingness to die to self, if that carnal man, if I'm not ready to crucify him, to get rid of him, to allow the power of Jesus to drive him out, to crucify him in my life, you know, that unwillingness will stand in the way of me having power over sin. Before Jesus went to the garden, he said to the disciples in John 12, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And I believe that goes right along with the teaching that Jesus taught of the straight gate and the narrow way. You know, clearly he's saying there needs to be that carnal man in us must be willing to die. Like that seed that we put in the ground, you plant it. And if it doesn't die, if it doesn't decay and go away, it cannot bring life to the new plant. If it holds on to that to itself, and I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to keep for me what I want in life, it's going to stay right there, one little seed in the ground, and you're never going to get any value out of it. But it's the same way in our lives. But if we are willing to die, if we're willing to surrender to God's plan, as the example Jesus laid for us in the garden, to say, "Not my will, but thine." Now a new plant can grow. Now it can become beautiful, can become productive, and it will bring forth much fruit. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. So I'd like to read here, starting in the beginning of the chapter. And think about that death, that dying that brings life. And all the talks here about all the glory that Christ had after he was raised up, with power and glory, and he sat at the highest place. Christ has the highest place over all power and all dominion and every name that's named in heaven and in earth, it says. So how did Jesus get the position of the highest name above every name that can be named in heaven or in earth? How? It was by submitting himself, being willing to die. And it says that then God exalted him to this place. And it's the same for you and I. So just keep that in mind as we read this. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." So he's saying to the saints at Ephesus and to the people who are faithful in Christ Jesus. It's for you and I. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, yeah, we are so rich because of what Jesus has done for us. And I would just encourage us to remember that if we are going to live and experience the power of Jesus' resurrection, then we need to be willing to die. We need to be willing to go through and experience the sufferings and the death that Jesus experienced. And it's death to our carnal man. You know, and I think we wrestle with that, you know, the same way Jesus wrestled with his flesh, bringing him to subjection to the Father's will. But that dying is what enables us to live in life with Christ. So God bless you.